Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm really trying to save this poll question for tomorrow, guys, because I like the Vic Fangio stuff we're talking about today, but you're forcing my hand here. Zach Stevens, will maybe he can better put this whole thing into perspective for us. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, before we get into 2-0, Teddy Bridgewater, Bradley Chubb, Courtland Sutton, all that fun stuff, my hooligans are wanting a debate here, Peyton Manning or John Elway. Why is that? What happened over the weekend?
Oh, Brady, I mean, that's really the sexiest thing to talk about, because how great was it when the Broncos were able to bring back Peyton or John Elway into the organization back in 2011? How exciting was that? And then what he did after that, and it was just so cool for the organization to have a Hall of Fame quarterback run their team. And now the prospect of getting another Hall of Fame quarterback to be a part of the team for the next multiple decades is so exciting, and that's what's going on between John Elway and Peyton Manning. And Brady, unsurprisingly, they want a piece of the Denver Broncos. Both of them do. And now neither of them can buy the team outright, because it's only a couple billion dollars more than either of those guys have. But if an ownership group is formed, both of these guys want to be in on one and maybe be the figurehead to that. And so that's going to add a whole nother wrinkle to this ownership stuff. And when it comes to the Broncos being sold, they're not going to be put for sale until after the season. But come on, let's not be naive here. You know that there's talks going on about, okay, let's form some groups so we're ready. The Broncos, it's pretty clear by now that this is not going to stay in Brittany Bolin. It's not going to stay in the Bolin family. It's going to be sold. So now these talks are being talked about. And Brady, if you could be the figurehead of a group to own the Broncos, why would you not?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's an appealing thing. It's one of the, I mean, not just for Broncos fans, but one of the most appealing jobs or situations, I should say, throughout the country. So, Zach, is that are we then kind of thinking there's going to be possibly two separate groups? Manning's with one, Elway's with another. Could we see Manning and Elway join forces? Or the key word there that you said earlier, figurehead, would one of those guys be willing to step back at a step and allow Elway and or Manning to be the figurehead of the group? Or do you see them kind of locking heads and going at it against each other?
Yeah, I could very well see them going at it against one another here, which would just be so fascinating.
Oh,
but Brady, I don't think it's going to boil down to just those two, because I think what the Broncos, what the NFL would want is one solid owner. And so that means instead of a group being formed and Peyton or John being the front runners and the figureheads in that group, I really see it being, you know, a Jeff Bezos or someone that just has the money that can come in, say, how much? Oh, you want $5-6 billion for this? Here's the cash. Let me liquidate a few things right now. And then that person is the owner. Now, people may say, okay, well, then that person should let Peyton have 5% of the team, you know, have him buy his way in so that he can be the figurehead while the Jeff Bezos really owns a majority of the team. But Brady, billionaires probably don't want to buy something that is $5 billion and then hand it over to someone else. So that's why if it is Peyton or John who ends up getting this role, it's going to be because not one person bought the team, but because there was a group that came together and made a very good offer, and they let that person take it over. I really don't see a situation in which Jeff Bezos buys the team and then just says, you know what, Peyton, I want you to run it for me.
No, that's interesting. And wouldn't that be the storyline, though? Like you said, it was so magical when Elway was named the VP, and then he upgrades and becomes president GM, and then Manning comes to play quarterback, and it's a dream come true. They go win a Super Bowl, and Manning goes out on top, and then suddenly, what if it comes down? They're going at it. That would be, I mean, can you write a better script? We can make a movie off of this, Zach.
No, you can't. You really can't. And the Broncos are great at really dominating headlines, although that's faltered just a little bit over the past couple of years because of their play But holy cow, would this be the storyline? Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two Ring of Fame quarterbacks going at it for the ownership of the Broncos. It would just be probably at that point, it would just boil down to who surrounded themselves with the most money to buy the team.
How much is, do you know how much John Elway's worth offhand?
A couple hundred million dollars. So he would, I think he would be able to cut that threshold right around the 5% that you need to be the major, or not the majority, but to be that figurehead position, the controlling owner of the team. But certainly still very far away from being able to have any major stake of the team.
Just a measly couple of hundred million dollars.
What about Manning? He's poor.
Yeah, he's out there. He's going to be with a tin cup out there begging for change. Help me buy the team. What is Peyton Manning worth? Any idea there?
I believe with his wife, they're more than John, but I think right around still under that $500 million range. So, couple hundred million dollars again, so that he would be able to get that 5% clip as well.
Wow. Now, so what do you think, like, with fans? I think that this is would have Broncos country torn, and it's crazy to say that that would happen, but Manning obviously was Peyton Manning well before he came to Denver, and then, of course, he did all those amazing things, broke all those records, did take Denver to two Super Bowls. I know the defense was great the year they won that Super Bowl, but Manning is just adopted as one of Denver's greatest sons already. Who do you think Broncos country would vote? Not that that matters, but if that was a vote, and we might do that tomorrow on the show, who do you think Broncos country would go with if you had to pick one guy that would be a part of an investment team?
Well, I think it would be Peyton. And as crazy as that is, but John's been there, done that. Now, he hasn't been there at the ownership level, but the Broncos have had a great 10 years with him. And people start to get a little frustrated with John the past couple of years, but there's the unknown of what Peyton could do. And people know how big John Elway is in Colorado, and John Elway is big around the country. But I don't think, maybe outside of Tom Brady, even right now, and maybe Patrick Mahomes, that there's still a bigger name in the NFL world in terms of the entire country than Peyton Manning. Look, he's not just doing local commercials, although he is still doing those. He's doing national commercials. He's doing the ESPN broadcast of the game last night, and everyone's tuning into ESPN2 in order to watch Peyton Manning. I mean, who would ever thought ESPN2 would be the place to go? But it's because of Peyton. And so I think that intrigue of what Peyton could do, the influence he could have, I think even though John Elway is the OG son of the Broncos, I think it would be Peyton.
That's nuts, man. I mean, it's hard to disagree. It's just a wild concept that somebody could come in and eventually be. But hey, again, there is a couple of valid points, too. I mean, Elway, maybe it is the whole he's been there, done that. He's older. The whole one of the reasons he stepped up / stepped down, but up again, I'm not sure, elevated his position was that he's a grandfather. And Manning's certainly has a lot of energy, not football energy, but energy, in the business world and the Monday Night Football world, all that. So certainly a case could be made there. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos joining us. All right. So our poll question today, I wanted to stay with Vic Fangio. We knew he was on the hot seat coming in. Now, these are games he's supposed to win, the last two, and of course this one against the Jets. If the Broncos start 3-0, is Vic Fangio off the hot seat? That doesn't mean he can't be placed right back on there with a 3- or 4-game losing streak, but does that give him some leeway? Does that give him some room?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt, because you just look at it. I mean, he's got a 3-game lead on being 500, and I think if he finishes 500, right around 500, especially if he's at 9-8 this year, it's going to be really hard for the Broncos to go in a different direction from him. Because look, that would be a 4-game, that would be 4 games better than they were last year. Now, if they go 8-9 and it finishes on a 6-game losing streak, and then yeah, absolutely, he's going to be right back on the hot seat. But look, Brady, the Broncos haven't been able to do what they're supposed to do the past 5 years. There's so many games where the Broncos were supposed to beat the other team, and they just weren't able to. So this is a great place for the Broncos to be. They're beating the teams they should beat. And if they win, beat the Jets, which they absolutely should, then they can lose the next 2 games. Now, I think that there's a legitimate chance that they split those games. And then you're talking about 4-1. Then you're talking about he is absolutely off the hot seat. And that's exactly where the Broncos want to be. But look, Vic has also shown that he's grown as a head coach. Look, he got his team off to a hot start this season, something he didn't do the past 2 years. His defense is looking elite, something that we have not seen the past 2 years. And then another thing, game management. Vic Fangio has been Mr. Aggressive, and that aggression has been working so far. He hasn't had any game management issues. Now, has he really been given an opportunity to have a bad game management issue? Not really, outside of maybe the Broncos not converting a fourth down that he went for. But for the most part, not only has the team been winning, but Vic has shown so far, it can change, that he as a head coach has gotten better.
Yeah, well, I agree with all of those points. I do think it cools off the seat, so to speak. You know, a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and then he's right back there. Maybe he's gone. But these games were so important. They handled their business extremely well the last 2 weeks. I mean, for the most part, these games were never really in doubt. I know it was a weird first half, Broncos-Jags, but I never got the sense that the Broncos weren't going to end up winning this game. Teddy Bridgewater was slow in the first half. Then he came out, and he just continues to light it up. I mean, 26-34, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, and so far so good for Teddy. I know a lot of big tests await him, but huge numbers for him in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, huge numbers. I mean, Brady, he's on a pace to have more than double the number of touchdowns than he's ever had in a season right now. Mm. Just shows you how good he's been, even for himself, and not just for himself. I mean, you look around the NFL, he has the second best QBR in the entire NFL. He has a 120 passer rating, which is just absurd. He's completing nearly 80% of his passes. And, by the way, he has more success on passes 20 yards down the field than anyone in the NFL. So it's not check down Teddy. It's just very good quarterback play, Teddy Bridgewater. That's what we're talking about. And not only the numbers, but Brady, he just seems to be perfect for what this team needs in the moment. How big was that coming out of halftime? You mentioned it, the 75-yard four-play touchdown drive out of halftime. That's when the game really felt like, okay, the Broncos are going to do what they need to do against the Jacksonville Jaguars and dominate them. And that drive really set the tone for that. Of course, the 55-yarder to Cortland Sutton. Teddy's looking deep. And then also, he has the 100% trust in his coach, Vic Fangio. This team is going for it on fourth down more than they ever have in like the last half decade, just in these first 2 games, because Vic trusts him and Teddy is living up to that. What Teddy Bridgewater has done so far has truly been incredible. And people will say, well, yeah, it's against two bad teams. The Jets, terrible defense. The Giants, I think a pretty average defense. I think that's what they'll grade out at the end of the year. So you can't discount that, what he did against the Giants. And when you look at the future, sure, he may come back down to earth a little bit, but he's starting at a great place in order to come back down from earth. Right now, he's playing at an MVP level. Let's say he comes back down to top 10 quarterback play. That'll do for the Broncos.
Zach, when do the Broncos pay Cortland Sutton? Because we talked about him, you know, free agency looming, but they're stacked at wide receiver. I mean, 9 receptions, 159 yards. I know Teddy was fantastic, but man, he had a nice one to throw to. Sutton just got better as that game went on.
Yeah, you're right. Now the Broncos are in a really tough place, because it was trending that Jerry Jeudy was going to have the breakout year. I believed, and I still believe, that Jerry Jeudy by the end of this season is going to be the Broncos' number one receiver. But if Cortland Sutton continues anywhere close to what he's been doing, now he had a poor performance in the first week, fantastic start or game against the Jags, like you said, a career high day in both receptions and receiving yards. If he continues to do that, are you really just going to let him walk? Maybe that's when you talk about trading him. But if Jeudy comes back and looks still a little hobbled with a high ankle sprain, which could very well be the case, you're really going to let your number one receiver walk? That is such a weird fine line that the Broncos are going to have to walk. I think they wait for a while just to see more consistency, see what Jerry Jeudy looks like. But if he looks like this guy that he looks like on Saturday or on Sunday, you're talking about paying him come December.
Man, and even those long balls, I mean, you could make a case there might have been some defensive pass interference there. But he could have had more and a couple of touchdowns. All right, last one for you, Zach. I know there's a lot still to hit, but the injury side, bummer about Josie Jewell. You just hate to see it. We don't. What do you know about Bradley Chubb at this point? Can we even put a date on when we expect? Can we put an estimate?
No, I don't think we can. Brady, I think that the Broncos should put him on IR, which means he'd be out for 3 weeks. I'm not sure they're going to take that approach. I wouldn't be surprised if they take more of a wait-and-see approach. I would be shocked if he plays this week. He should not play this week. And honestly, the goal for Bradley Chubb, in my mind, was just let him be good for that Baltimore Ravens game. And boy, are you going to need him in order to contain Lamar Jackson. I think that's now very much in doubt. Big Ben is a guy you want to have him play against the week after. That's now very much in doubt. I think we're looking about a month timeline. And Brady, I hope the Broncos learn Bradley Chubb can be medically cleared to play like he was. Bradley Chubb can want to play, and boy, does he have every incentive to play kind of on a contract year. But there needs to be a time where you have to look at the bigger picture and say, look, we need Bradley Chubb down the stretch at, 95%. We don't need to risk him at 70% where he can take a step back to 40% because the Broncos just lived that. So I really hope they learn from what now certainly is a mistake that they forced him out there against the Jags. And Brady, well, they didn't need him for the Jags. So revisionist history is really nice to look at in this, but also you got to just realize where you're at right now. You're week two. You need Chubb coming down the stretch, especially looks like a playoff team right now.
It was a weird thing because a few days before that, maybe a week before they announced him healthy enough to play, it was, hey, I don't know when he's going to play. And then it suddenly changed throughout the week. So I thought that was clunky. I thought that was strange. And of course, I couldn't have predicted this, and you hate to see it. But now we'll just wait by and see what happens with Chubb. Zach, always appreciate your insight, my friend, taking us on that John Elway, Peyton Manning, wonderful ride. can't wait to see what's next between those two. Always love these chats, my friend.
Oh, me too, Brady. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 12:51 the time. It's Top Text Tuesday. Bring me good stuff. That's all I ask. Because we can talk this show, and it's easy, and we can breeze right through it, and it's amazing. It's the greatest show that's ever hit the air. But we can also let the hooligans be a part of it. And so that's up to you. Crap texts, that's your fault. Bring the good stuff, and you read it, and you might win things as well. All right, Top Text Tuesday continues, presented by Front Range Painters of South Platte. And we've got some great, great prizes, as always. So we'll talk about that coming up next, and we'll wrap up our number one. Colorado State has their hoops schedule out. Pretty exciting non-conference schedule. We'll talk about it next.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.